Why are burned out landlords turning to notes?
Cash flow.
On today's episode, we're going to talk about, is it possible for burned out landlords to turn to note investing without all the headaches, hassles of collecting the rent, finding the right tenants, maintenance, upkeep, management, city ordinances, rules? Some think it's unrealistic. Others think it must be a scam. And still others think private note investing is only with borrowers that have bad credit and default on their loans. Well, today's guest has something very important to say, and you'll be blown away by his information. Let's welcome Mr. Eddie Speed. Eddie, how are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. And for just for those of you that may not know, Eddie Speed is president and founder of Note School, a coach, a discount note expert. Eddie grew up around horses, and then around 1980, he learned that more wealth is built with a pencil than a rope. His father-in-law taught him the ropes of the note business, and he's been perfecting that craft ever since. He's the nation's most experienced note buyer, having closed over 50,000 note loans. And that's so far. Eddie is the owner and president of Colonial Funding Group. He's the best-selling author of several books, including The Secret to Closing More Deals, Courtesy of the IRS, and what you need to know to protect and grow your assets as a mortgage note investor. And of course, much more. Eddie, is there anything else that we should highlight?
That's probably enough. That's a very kind introduction, John. I appreciate it.
Very nice.
That's probably enough. I'm an old seasoned dog. How about that?
That's great. I tell you, I appreciate every time I talk to you, Eddie. I always learn something more. And I know you've got some really, really great stuff for us today. And I just have a few questions.
Okay.
So I guess we'll get right into it. Why are burned out landlords turning to notes?
Cash flow. I mean, that's the shortest answer I can give you.
Okay.
What happened in the market is this. Now, John, you're very seasoned in the space, and you acquired properties when they were cheap and rent was pretty high, and a rent property really had good cash flow, right? Your cost basis in the property was low. The rents were really good. Then all of a sudden, we came along and got in this virus. And then all of a sudden, people kind of lost their minds at what they're trying to pay for properties. And as a result of that, we saw a 65% increase in expenses, and rents went up about 20%. Now, rents are subsiding now, and they may not in your micro market, but nationally, they certainly are. Rents are going down. Are expenses going down? No. So what's happened is people that are running the math on rentals have figured out these things aren't cash flowing. You know, it's general rule of thumb is this. 50% of the rent you collect goes out in expenses. That's roof stock or Fannie Mae or anybody that underwrites lots of this stuff, that's an acceptable industry standard rule. Well, that means if you're collecting $1,600 in rent, then $800 of it is going out in expenses. That may not every month, but do it, John, as you know, do it over 2 or 3 years. It's gonna catch up. You're gonna spend that $800 in expenses. So that nets you $800. You got that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take the exact same house and seller finance it. Price of the house with a good down payment and a non-QM, non-qualified mortgage rate. Now, that doesn't mean bad credit. That means almost 40% of every loan originated today is a non-QM loan. That's a rate of at least 9% interest. And the mortgage payment on that identical house that you rented for $1,600 a month, mortgage payment is $2,100, $2,200 a month. You pay $30 in expenses, servicing fee, and the rest of it you keep. So if you rent it for $2,200 a month, you're going to keep, just safe to say, you're going to keep $2,150 a month on the seller finance side and $800 a month on the rent side. And John, that's just math.
Yes. Yeah, it only makes sense to do it that way nowadays, Eddie.
We've entered a note cycle. You know, you and I have been around forever. We've seen these things before. We've seen it when, you know, listen, if you were acquiring rentals in 2014, you almost couldn't make a mistake, mm-hmm. right? Because they were so cheap.
Right.
And rent didn't decline as the market declined. So, you know, the rent was still what it was before 2008, but the prices had dropped 40%, depending on where you were. And so, man, real estate was on sale. And timing is everything. John, don't you agree with that?
Absolutely, Eddie. Absolutely. Yeah. So we are in a different time. And I really appreciate the simplicity that you're explaining to us here, because a lot of people think it's more complicated. I mean, some people don't even know what a private note is. And would you maybe just touch on that for a minute to kind of explain some basics here?
A private note is simply where the seller of the property finances the buyer versus going down to the bank or the buyer paying cash. Everybody has seen this because we've all seen a tote the note car lot, mm-hmm. right? Buy here, pay here, right? That's what the used car guys call it, right? Well, it's the same thing. They're seller financing a car. John, in you and your wife's case, you seller finance a house, right? Now, I buy notes, meaning that when somebody is seller financed, I go in and buy their note at a discount. But I've also carried a lot of seller financing on property that I own. So which one is it? It doesn't really matter. John, in your case, you manufacture your own inventory, right? You manufacture your own notes because you're selling a property and carrying financing. In my case, I buy the inventory. So I go to an operator. Yesterday, literally, I took a pretty good size real estate investor, pretty well-known guy in the business, and I bought 12 notes from him. So I went and bought his 12 notes. Now you say, well, why did he sell his 12 notes? Because he needed to recapitalize.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't sell all his notes, but he sold some notes because he needed to recapitalize to propel himself in the business. So all of that scenario, whether you're seller financing your own property or you're buying a note, it is what the industry refers to it as a private note transaction, meaning a bank is not involved.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good explanation. And I know a lot of people have asked me, what do you think some of the myths that investors have as far as note investing goes? Because I know there's a lot of people say a lot of things, but they're not accurate. So what would you say maybe some of the myths would be, Eddie?
That all seller financing is bad credit. That all seller financing is on bad properties. I bought 50,000 notes. I set up the note system for homevestors in 1991, right? All of these real estate investors that tried to do it in big volume, what I did was gave them a recipe. Sell this property to this person under these terms, and I'll buy your note. And they were good properties with good people. And right now, you know, like people look at like, well, who would need seller financing? Well, can I give you a stat?
Mm-hmm.
According to the Mortgage Bankers Association, they have an index called the Mortgage Credit Availability Index. It's a thing that Mortgage Bankers has built, and it has a number to it because it's an index, right?
Okay.
The day before the virus started, it was at 185. This morning, it is at 90.
Wow.
That means that more than 50% of the people that could get a mortgage before the virus cannot qualify for a Fannie Freddie loan today. You think there's anybody been left behind?
Unbelievable. Wow. That is unbelievable.
So the opportunity of seller financing today is so good because the mortgage industry is, let's just be honest about it, they're in some pretty severe times, right? Their loan production is down. They're losing money apparently on every file they're originating. The stats say they are. And they've tightened their underwriting so much, they've left a lot of deserving buyers behind. And we think that's our opportunity.
That's a great opportunity too, by the way. Let me just ask you this. What is the typical investment size, maybe the yield and term length on a private mortgage note, Eddie?
I would say the average term note we buy is probably about 15 years. But we buy 5-year notes and we buy 30-year notes. So they barbell on either end as well, right? Mm-hmm. The average note we invest in is probably about 80 grand. But we buy notes. We've got, I was in a staff meeting earlier today, and we were going through what was closing, and we had one for 280,000 and we had one that was for 48,000.
Oh, okay.
And so, we buy notes on land. We buy notes on former rental houses are two very common products that we see a lot.
And good products too, I may add.
We don't buy in questionable neighborhoods. We don't buy notes on questionable neighborhoods, right? We just don't. I mean, like, if you're good at doing this business, there's so much business out there. Why go chase the questionable business?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, one of the questions I personally have too is, do I have to pay taxes on my returns?
You're talking about installment sales.
Yes.
So yeah, that's pretty interesting. The IRS has an opportunity that most people that would consider seller financing have never been taught. And that is, they allow you to amortize out your capital gains when you get the money, not the year you sell it. And so there is a tax hack in seller financing, and that is, you sell it, but you don't pay the capital gains until you get the money. Well, you get to string that out over a long period of time. In fact, John, there's another statute in the IRS code that says, if you, depending on what your income is, so if you make $1 million a year, you're probably not eligible for this. But if you're the typical older person selling rentals, there's a threshold in capital gains that you can earn before any tax is due. And that's about $90,000. And so a lot of people would be able to owner finance, amortize their capital gains over time. That's called installment sales, mm-hmm. per the IRS. And then, because they're amortizing it out and limiting how much money per year, they literally never hit the taxable threshold. So it's possible that they could sell their property and never pay capital gains.
Wow. I love that right there.
I'm not a CPA or a lawyer, so, right. So I'm not giving you any advice, right? I'm just saying, I've paid for a lot of this, and it's a little tax hack that we've stumbled into.
I love that. Yeah, and that is something we personally need to check with our own personal CPA or accountant. But I love the way that works right there. And that's something that I know a lot of us can utilize. That's a great, great hack, I guess. Put it that way. Well, and a question that does come up also is, how will you know if the borrower is making payments, Eddie?
Well, the person that owns the loan has done it one of two ways. They've done it in a sense of they have a third party servicer, which is generally what we do and what the students that we teach do. They have a loan third party serviced. And they, of course, they have all the records and the pay histories and stuff. In your case, John, where you have seller finance, you may or may not use a servicer. You and your wife may self-service. You may service your own loans, you know. But you have a checking account, don't you?
You
deposit that money in a checking account, right?
Correct.
So we could work backwards and, like, prove that the customer is paying. It's an auditable. It's a little more trouble if you self-service than if you just use a servicer. But in our business and buying notes every day, we see both sides all the time.
But you also, you know, you touched on better neighborhoods too than maybe some of the people have maybe with the rental properties even. So that makes a huge difference right there.
If you're seller financing somebody, that is graduated from needing to be a tenant.
Right. And I noticed that's a mindset also is what we notice in our personal situation. So, yeah. So I don't think that's as big a question as some people maybe, you know, come up with.
Yeah.
Now, another thing I was curiously wondering about too, Eddie, are there any strategies for increasing my returns?
Yeah, I can make your return out of sight. So here's how that works. So, John, I buy a 20-year cash flow of a note. It's $100,000. It's $1,000 a month. Okay. And I buy that note payable over 20 years, $12,000 a year in payments. I buy the whole note and I buy it at a discount. John, let's say that I buy that note for 80 cents on the dollar. I pay $80,000 for a $100,000 note plus interest. That's a real market condition. We do it every day. Trust me, I know it's doable because I've done it about 50,000 times, right? Then I turn around and I buy this in a Roth IRA account. Then I turn around and I sell 10 or 12 years of the note. Now, depending on the math, so I'm giving you a little range here, but I sell, just say that I sell 12 years of the note, 144 months. There's 240 months for the whole 20-year note. So I sell the first piece of it for $79,000. It's called a partial. So I sell it to a passive investor, somebody that's probably had a rental and had too many headaches and no cash flow. Now all of a sudden they make an investment and they get a check every month, a real check for 12 years.
Nice.
But I have $1,000 invested and I own the back 8 years of the note for that $1,000 investment. What's the yield on that?
Wow.
I say it's enough.
That's wonderful. I love that strategy right there is worth its weight in gold.
Well, you and I were talking before the interview started, and you know me from the past. We're known to be good at financial modeling. We're not smart, we're just seasoned. This is my 44th year in the business. So, you know, like the commercial for insurance, right? We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. That's just us. We're just seasoned and we've learned these techniques. And a lot of people, we've done really, really well in the self-directed retirement account world because those guys that run those self-directed retirement account companies go like, oh my goodness. If you do that stuff, Note School will teach you, you can turn a little money into a lot of money in a retirement account.
Absolutely. And of course the tax benefits, that's we could go on for that with, you know, forever with that.
Sure enough.
Wow. That's great, Eddie. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us? I know you're limited on time today. And how can we find out a little bit more about note investing?
So I would say that if you're not absolutely happy with the real estate model that you currently have, you probably ought to consider at least looking at notes and seeing if being the bank is better than a landlord in your situation. I don't know if it is or isn't, but it's worth investigating. We've got a pretty good pile of people coming in right now that are all, let's be honest about it, they're kind of burnout landlords. Right. They're degrees of burnout, but they're looking for cash flow. They're looking for less headaches. They're looking for something that's more passive with better money. And they're looking for a good return. And so they get to this business and they're saying, oh my gosh, I just didn't know I could do this. And we're just saying, just like all of us, John, we don't know what we don't know until we learn it.
That's absolutely right. Wow, what an amazing conversation, Eddie. I just encourage everyone to check out noteschool.com.
Now, here's what I want to do. I want to do something even better than that.
Okay.
I'm going to give your audience a free masterclass. It's a couple of hours, and
Wow.
we're going to have the registration. It'll be in the link. We're going to give your audience the masterclass, and from that, they'll come and we'll have real case studies and real examples and real specifics. So they can investigate this a little bit deeper. And we do sell this masterclass, but we thought it would be a nice gift for your audience if we gave it to them.
Wow, I'm just overwhelmed. That's so generous of you. I really appreciate that, and I know I know our viewers will too. So we'll have the link to just click onto that. The free
I'll
masterclass is
give
just
you the I'll
phenomenal.
give you the I'll give you the registration link. Okay, so John, here's the link. They're going to go to noteschool.com. And this is a special link for your folks now, right? noteschool.com/STLREIA. stands for St. Louis REIA. Let me say it one more time. noteschool.com/STLREIA.
Thank you so much, Eddie. And just click on the link and you'll have that free masterclass that he just talked about, which is unbelievable. And I'm just, I am so grateful for this. Thank you. And you don't have to be a burned out landlord, maybe just a curious investor, but I encourage everyone to take this masterclass because it's just going to blow you away. And I do thank you so much, Eddie Speed from the Note School, and stay tuned for a final word. And thank you again.
Thank you, John. Bye-bye.
Okay, great. Enroll today, noteschool.com/STLREIA.